Well, this morning I decided that it's probably good if I didn't tell you another foolish and embarrassing story about myself. I didn't want all of you thinking, you know, why is Pastor Josh the one preaching on Proverbs? Have you heard some of the stuff he's done? So this week I'm not going to tell you an embarrassing story about myself. However, as I look back over my childhood and my life, I recognize that there were many foolish stories that I probably could put into sermons, and maybe over the rest of the summer you'll hear some more of them. But I have to say, my dad certainly had his hands full trying to teach myself and my three younger brothers wisdom over the years. And I really remember some things that he taught me. In fact, I remember a lot of what he taught me, but there are a few things that stick out in particular. One thing that I remember him saying all the time was this saying, just work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. And what he meant by that was the idea that as a family, we work hard together to do something and to do it well. And then as a family, we take time to be as a family and we enjoy life as a family. And that was something that he prioritized all through growing up. And it's something that I now value and see the wisdom in, and that you can't have all work and no play, and you can't have all play and no work. And there needs to be a balance there. He taught me that church was a priority, and that no matter what, church was to come first. I learned a love of the outdoors from my father, and I also learned some other important things, like how to write my name in the snow. Guys know what I'm talking about. How to throw a baseball, how to make a fire, and many other important skills that I learned throughout life. And I'm sure as we think through our own lives, we can all look to certain things that we learned from our fathers, whether those are good and important things, or whether those are not so good and maybe not so important. But the question that we have to ask ourselves are, what things do we as fathers want to be passing on to our children? What things do we as fathers want our kids standing at some point saying, I remember this about my dad, and this was the wisdom that he passed on to me? You see, whether we like it or not, they're going to learn something from us. And if we're not intentional, the thing that they learn from us or remember most from us might not be what we like. They may remember some of our bad things that we remember. I didn't say this last week, but another thing that I learned from my dad was I picked up the whole tennis ball gasoline idea from him from last week. So, you know, there's always things that we learn that are good, and there's some things that we learn that are bad. And so what is the best thing that we as fathers can pass on to our kids? And I would say that it is wisdom. Wisdom, the wisdom of knowing God and having a relationship with Him. It's the wisdom of how to live life well. In fact, it was so important. That was the one thing that Solomon asked from God when he could have asked for absolutely anything he wanted. But instead, he said, God, I want wisdom. So the last couple weeks, we started a new series, Be Wise, the Book of Proverbs. And we've been learning from Proverbs that it's all about wisdom for practical, everyday life. But not only is Proverbs all about wisdom for everyday life, as hopefully you've been reading through the book of Proverbs this month, maybe you've picked up on the fact that Proverbs is also a great model of fathers passing wisdom on to the next generation, particularly chapters 1 to 9. And so we're actually going to read a passage in Proverbs this morning. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading the first 18 verses, and we're not going to go verse by verse through this, but it's really just a model or an example of the wisdom of Solomon as he's trying to hand this wisdom down to his kids. And it's a great representation of a dad doing just that. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Just listen to some of these words that Solomon shares with his son. He says this, my son, do not forget my teaching, and do not let your heart keep my commandments For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. For let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for how it shares the wisdom of God with us. We're thankful for how it shares the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he came and bore our sins upon himself on the tree in order that we might have a relationship with you. And God, your word gives us practical wisdom on how to live life every day for your honor and your glory. And so, God, I pray for all of us as fathers or mentors, spiritual fathers, Lord, I pray that we would all be about passing wisdom on to the next generation of believers. And that would be intentional about how we go about doing that. So, Lord, we pray this morning that as we look at your word, that you would give us wisdom and that you'd help us to be good fathers. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Wise fathers pass wisdom on to their kids. Wise fathers pass wisdom on to their kids. And before we get looking at this any further, I just want to have two quick notes for you guys. First, if you're here this morning and you're not a father, don't think, oh, well, I can just sit back, relax, and none of this is for me. Because raising up the next generation of believers, passing on wisdom to the next generation, is just as much a part of a mother's, a Sunday school teacher's, a sibling's, a friend's job as it is for fathers. We're going to see if it's a critical role of fathers, but it's also important for everyone. And the other thing I want to note is just because I'm up here preaching, I'm not a perfect father. I don't have all the answers, and I'm just as much preaching to myself as I am to you. And so don't think that what I say is me saying, well, I've got it all figured out. Everything that I'm going to be sharing with you guys comes from the book of Proverbs and from scriptures. And hopefully we can look at these together and all be better fathers as a result. And so we're going to see that wise fathers are all about passing wisdom on to their kids. So wise fathers, they do this in two ways. Wise fathers discuss and wise fathers demonstrate. Wise fathers discuss and wise fathers demonstrate. So discuss. And when I say discuss, I'm talking about your talk. It's the conversations that you have with your kids. It's the words that you share with them, the truths that you share. In the last 2 weeks, we've looked at wisdom and we looked at folly. So wise fathers use their words and the conversations that they have with their kids to do two things, to share wisdom and to warn against folly. To share wisdom and to warn against folly. We see early on in the Bible that God commands fathers to teach their children. And it's in the Old Testament, but we see it's reemphasized throughout the New as well. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 21 says this, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, and when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied. And so God gives the people of Israel the law, and he says, this is your role as fathers to be sharing this truth, the truth of the word of God as they had it then, to the next generation. And all of your life, whether you're coming or going, you should be sharing God's word with the next generation. And Solomon, he does this. Because if you've been reading through the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that Proverbs 1 to 9 is all Solomon's instructions to his son. All about wisdom. And he specifically addresses his son. He says in chapter 1, hear my son, your father's instructions. Chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you. And then he says, my son, do not forget my teachings. Let your heart keep my commandments. Bind them around your neck. Write them as a tablet on your heart. You notice that's basically quoting Deuteronomy right there. Proverbs is saying to his son, not only is he passing on wisdom, but he's actually passing on the mantle that they ought to be learning wisdom, writing it on the tablet of their own heart, but then in turn doing so to the next generation. And then those types of phrases, my son, my son, my son, is repeated over and over throughout chapters 1 to 9. And the point of it is that Solomon takes it very serious to be doing this. Wisdom is something that Solomon was all about. And he was about passing it on to the next generation. And why? Why was he so concerned that his sons would understand these things? Why would he go to the lengths of writing all these things out in order that he could pass them on to his children? He did so because he recognized the importance of it. Listen to how he describes wisdom, the blessing that it produces in his life. And this is just from Proverbs 1 to 9. We could go way farther. But listen to how he describes getting wisdom and the value of it. He calls it a graceful garland for your head, pendants for your neck. He says, they will watch over you, guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. They will cause you to find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. They promise blessing. They are better than silver and gold. Long life, riches, honor, pleasant ways, peace, happiness, security, lack of fear, confidence, grace, protecting and watching over, stability, health to all their body. It'll keep them from sin, wounds, and disgrace. They'll find favor with the Lord. And he goes on and on and on to list the benefits of wisdom. And the greatest benefit of all is the fear of the Lord. It's having a relationship with God in order that they can flourish and live wisely themselves. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. You see, what more could you possibly want for your children than that list? What more as a father would you desire for your kids than all of those blessings and rewards and a great relationship with the Lord where they go on living wisely for God? What more could you want? Nothing. And what Solomon is saying is that the way to give that to them, the way to pass that on, is not the newest piece of technology for your child, not the newest thing that they want. It's not paying for them to go to a good school or a good college. It's not leaving them a large inheritance or teaching them to play sports, use a hammer, throw a baseball, go fishing, shoot a gun. All of these things are great things to do and to teach your kids, but teaching them all of those things, they could do all of those things really well, but yet be fools and not have a relationship with God because you don't teach them wisdom. And what a tragedy that would be. All the effort we make as a father to teach and instruct our kids, but we've never pointed them to God and to wisdom, it would be terrible. Proverbs 17:25 says, "Foolish children bring grief to their father and bitterness to the one who gave them birth." You see, dads, teaching wisdom to your children is your responsibility. And I know for many of us, God has blessed us with great wives, great mothers of our children who pour into our children's lives. They teach them well. They do a great job at that. But all the weight of passing wisdom on to our children should not and must not rest solely on the wives. And I understand, you come home from a long day of work, you get home, and the last thing you want to do is interact with the rugrats that are running around the house. You want to sit down, have a break, this or that. But you know what? If you're gone most of the time and your day only you get to see your kids in the evening, then you're on double time when it comes to pass wisdom on to the next generation when you're home. And you need to be extra vigilant that the time, whatever small hours that your children get to see you, they see wisdom lived out and shared in their lives. And what is the primary way that we go about sharing wisdom and passing that on to the next generation? It's sharing this. It's speaking of this. It's discussing God's word. It's teaching them about God's word. It's teaching them about living a life that's all to the honor and glory of God. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know, in your life, does that mean that you need to be doing family devotions with your kids? Maybe it's reading the Bible to them before dinner or before they go to bed. Maybe it's teaching them about prayer, even at the dinner table, and saying, you know, you got to fold your hands. You need to take prayer seriously. Don't be messing around. Don't be eating. Maybe you pray. Teach them to pray. Teach them to pray before they go to bed. Maybe it's just prioritizing your own devotions and allowing them to see that as you live that out in your life. Maybe it's prioritizing church and ministry and sharing the importance with them of why we go to church, why it's important. That was something my father taught me, and it has stuck with me, hopefully for the rest of my life. Church is important. See, don't leave your children's souls and how much they learn wisdom solely up to your wives. Nothing bad against wives or mothers, but you know what? It's your responsibility just as much or more than your wife. And we need to be stepping up to the plate and taking care of that. And the most important wisdom that any father can teach or pass on to his children is the truth found in God's word and what it says about the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1 says, "Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." And how often do you talk to your children specifically about Jesus? Because it's easy to pray or this or that, but do you specifically talk to them about who Jesus is and what he did for them? How often do they hear you say his name, Jesus? You see, even at an early age, at a very early age, the teaching that you give to your kids can be very formative for their understanding of the gospel. And you can start small. I always say it's such a blessing that God gives fathers and mothers little children, because the parenting is really easy when they're small, right? When they're little, essentially, you just have to keep them alive. There's not much parenting. And then as they grow up, they get more mature, and then there's a little bit more parenting. You get into discipline and you know, different issues at school and this or that. Well, you know what? When you're sharing the gospel with your children, passing on wisdom, it starts small like that too. And yes, it may seem weird to you to be sharing the gospel with your two-year-old that sits there and just kind of does this. And it might be going in one ear and out the other with nothing sticking in between. But you know what? At very least, they're hearing it. And at best, they're understanding, and it's a training tool for you as a father. Because if you don't get used to sharing the gospel and sharing those types of truths with them, even when they're little, what makes you think you're going to do so when all of a sudden they're grown up and they can speak back to you and say, "Dad, that makes no sense," or ask questions that are difficult, right? It's really a training for a father. And I don't do a great job at this either, but it's good for young fathers to be sharing those things with their children. And it's super important. And maybe you're sitting here and you say, "Well, my kids are all grown up." You know what? It's not too late to start. It's not too late to start sharing truth and sharing wisdom with your children, regardless of where they are in life. And you might be thinking, "Okay, well, what wisdom do I have to pass on?" Right? What wisdom do I have? We have this. And if you've been reading through Proverbs, so much of every single chapter is wise, even to a young child. I love how Solomon just points out, whether it be the ants or the birds or all these different things that you can draw wisdom from to share with your children. So I would encourage you, be reading the book of Proverbs. If you've got a hard time sharing wisdom with your child, read Proverbs. Pick a proverb from a chapter each day and say, "Somehow I'm going to weave this into the conversation," and begin doing that. So dads, first off, they need to share wisdom. Wise dads share wisdom as they discuss. And secondly, they warn against folly. They warn against folly. And I find this can often be hard to do. It sometimes results in some difficult conversations, but I believe conversations that are very essential and can save your child a lot of pain, suffering, and even death. And it's so much more than just saying, you know, "Don't do dumb stuff." Because that's sometimes how fathers do it, right? Don't do dumb stuff. How many of you guys can relate to something like this? You know, your child's going to reach electric fence for like a horse, and you're just sitting there like, "Don't touch that. It's going to shock you." And they pull their hand back, and then they go back, "Don't touch that, it's going to shock you." "Ah, told you so." Right? Learn by experience. Well, it's good to learn by experience, but you know what? There are so many things in life, so many foolish things in life, that are so much more detrimental to them than just a shock from an electric fence. Drugs, alcohol, sex before marriage, and the list can go on and on and on. And we as parents need to have a little bit better and more effective way of communicating and warning against folly than just, "Don't do that, it's going to hurt." Because that's how I am sometimes. "Oh, don't do that, it's going to hurt." But I don't take time to have the conversation, to share the wisdom, and to truly warn against the folly. And one way that we warn against folly, that's, I think, a challenge for any young father with little kids, this idea of discipline. You see, fathers are called not only to warn against folly, but to discipline folly. It's a part of the warning. And discipline from a father is warning of a greater and more severe punishment that accompanies folly when a child leaves home. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14 says, "Don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Physical discipline may well save them from death." You see, your kids need to know that there is consequences for folly. And if you're always shielding them from consequences, they do something bad and, "Oh, that's okay. We'll just distract them with something else." Then one day they're going to grow up never learning that folly has consequences, that there's responsibility for your own actions. And what happens if they grow up and they're always hitting their siblings, always hitting their mom or their dad, and they never learn that that is something that's wrong and there's a consequence for that? They're going to grow up one day, they're going to get a job, they're going to punch their boss the first time they says something that they don't like, and then they're going to be out of a job and they might go to jail. You see, children need to learn that there are consequences for sin. And unfortunately, the consequences of foolishness only grows as children get older. When they're little and they act foolishly and they punch their sibling or they punch a random friend over for a play date, it's kind of like, "Oh, say you're sorry, this or that." And, you know, it kind of, the consequences are very insignificant compared to when you're an adult. And even more important than just learning that there's consequences in life, discipline will teach your children that there's a heavenly Father who views sin even more seriously and whose consequences and punishment are eternally greater than anything that they're going to have in this life. And it's important that children learn and understand that. And a part of discipline is that whole discuss aspect, that you talk with your child, you explain why, you explain that this is sin, and depending on their age, you can share more or less, but it's important to be doing that. Not to mention that God even disciplines his children. Discipline gives gospel opportunities to parents. It gives gospel opportunities to parents, so may we not miss it. Proverbs 3:12 says, "The Lord reproves him whom he loves, and as a father, the son in whom he delights." And then quoting this Proverbs, James actually expounds on this a little more. He says, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his children. As you endure his divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a children that is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in its ways." See, that should be the desire of every father in discipline, a peaceful harvest of right living to those who are trained in its ways. So wise fathers warn against folly by discipline. And one area where warning against folly can be particularly challenging that Solomon emphasizes over and over again in Proverbs is the topic of purity and sex. Solomon gives almost three whole chapters to this topic. Three chapters he teaches his son about purity and the folly of adultery and immorality. About a third of the time addressing his son, he talks about purity and sex. And he shows the destructiveness and the painfulness of folly in this area of life. But I like that he doesn't just leave sex as painful and bad and destructive, but that he portrays it in contrast to sex in marriage, sex as God designed it to be, and the joy of it. You see, oftentimes I think we as fathers shy away from this kind of warning to our kids because it's awkward. Because, well, my pops never taught me about this kind of stuff, and I ended up fine, right? But yet, it's our responsibility as parents, because you know what? Just think about it. They're going to learn this somewhere from someone. And wouldn't you rather it be you than some perverse conversation in a locker room, some steamed up car at Webster Park, or pornography on the internet? Wouldn't it be so much better coming from you as a father in a loving way that's using scripture to point to a true and wise way of enjoying sex versus the perverse and immoral, foolish way that the world often views it? When it comes to immorality, Proverbs 6, 27 and 28 says, "Can anyone take fire into his lap and his clothes not be burned? Or can a person walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched?" See, this is the reason why it's so important. There are great consequences for immorality. It's like playing with fire, and your children need to know the folly of it. And when it comes to our sons in particular, this is our job. And it's one that I'm not particularly looking forward to sharing with my son. But I think it's an important thing to do. You see, children are going to have their share of folly regardless. But may we be able to spare them from some of it because we warn them against folly and its consequences, especially the folly of sexual sin and the grave consequences that can result. So discuss. Wise fathers discuss. They share wisdom and they warn against folly. But wise fathers also demonstrate. They demonstrate. You see, your walk has to match your talk. The way you live your life has to demonstrate the truth of what you're saying and that you actually believe it and put it into practice. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." You see, the father who most effectively passes wisdom on to his children is the father who most effectively lives wisdom out. Let me say that again. The father who most effectively passes wisdom on to his children is the father who most effectively lives wisdom out in his everyday life. James 1 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." And while this refers to a person's reading of God's word and doing what it says, it also speaks of the deception of merely reading and hearing or speaking something and then not actually doing it or making the changes yourself. Proverbs calls that kind of person a fool. And listen to what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, "A proverb in the mouth of a fool is as useless as a paralyzed leg." You see, if you're a parent and you're sharing these proverbs out of your mouth with your children and you're not living them, your life is that of a fool, then they're going to see them and there's going to be no weight and they're just going to collapse. The wisdom of your words will have no foundation to it whatsoever. Proverbs 26:9 says, "A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a thorny branch brandished by a drunk." You see, if you're sharing proverbs to your children, but you're not living in light of that truth, it's actually harmful and detrimental to your children because all of a sudden they say, "Well, why would I ever do that when dad's not doing the same?" And it's not to say that we have to be perfect as fathers because the Lord knows that none of us are perfect, but we do have to be real. We do have to be real. You see, transparency and modeling repentance as a father goes a long way. You see, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to sin. We're all going to act foolishly. And whether we like it or not, our kids are going to see it. Or at least know about it. And so what matters is not that we necessarily sin, but how they see us respond to that sin. How they see us respond in repentance. See, our parenting can often convey the idea of "do as I say and not as I do." And kids can smell hypocrisy a mile away because they're just looking for an excuse not to do what you say anyways. And may that excuse not be found in us. James says that we should confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. And this doesn't mean that you go and you just share all of your sins with your children, that you're always confessing those things to them and asking their repentance for every sin in your life. But it does mean that you go to them and you confess and ask forgiveness for the sins that they know about, the sins that were committed against them or against their mom in their presence. Those are the types of things that you need to be able to go and confess to them in order that they might learn what it looks like to be a man who is humble, who knows how to ask for forgiveness. Allow your children to learn from your mistakes so that hopefully they don't make the same ones. You see, as you read through Proverbs and you look at all of Solomon's warning to his sons about adultery, over and over again, warns about adultery and how terrible it is and what it does to a family and your life and your relationship. And I can't help but imagine that in Solomon's mind, he is remembering all of the wisdom that he learned from David, his father, and Bathsheba, his mother. and the sinful act that they committed and all the consequences that it had for them, how he lost his older brother because of that sin and how it wrecked much of their family relationship, and his mom's first husband was murdered because, like, all of that. And I imagine that Solomon knew of that, and some of the wisdom that he's passing on is a result of that understanding in his life. And hopefully it saves his son some of the same consequences of sin. You see, you can discuss with them till you're blue in the face, but if you don't demonstrate what you discuss, your children will never demonstrate it either. You see, kids understand consciously or not that if you believe something, you're actually going to do it. And not just today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and continue. You know, it's one thing to do it right one time, but how is your track record? Someone once said, being a great father is like shaving. No matter how good you shave today, you have to do it again tomorrow. And I just gave up shaving, so... I think it's also important to note, though, that you can't just demonstrate and not discuss. You can't just demonstrate and not discuss. Both are needed. Our kids need to know why we do what we do. They need to know the wisdom of what we're doing. Share some of this is the wisdom of why I do this. And why I work hard, and why we go to church, and why this matters, and why that matters. They need to know why. And so it's important for us as fathers not to just father in a way that never talks to our kids, but in a way that shares truth with them. And this is really something that's critical for our kids. We don't have time, but Judges chapter 2, 10 to 15 shares that one generation did not pass on to the next the wisdom of God, the truth of his law, their relationship with God, and it was catastrophic for that next generation. It wreaked havoc, not only on this life, but for their eternal souls. So what kind of wisdom are we passing on? What are some of the wise things that Proverbs and that Solomon shares? So just to bring us back to what we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 3. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Maybe you're here as a father and you're like, okay, well, what does that look like? What kind of conversations is that? Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. He instructs them on teaching and instruction and the value of that. Verse 3 and 4 is all about steadfast love and faithfulness. Talking about and demonstrating steadfast love and faithfulness to God, to their mom, to them, to their church. Verses 5 and 6 is all about trust in God. How do you communicate and demonstrate your trust in God, particularly when things get tough? When things get tough, how do they see their father lead when financially there are struggles, when there's a loss of a loved one, all of those kind of things? How do they see their father lead in those moments? Verses 7 and 8, humility. This can be a hard one for fathers, especially when sometimes you might learn some things from your children. Or when your child finally gets old enough that you do something and then they correct you, and that's not fun. Verses 9 and 10 is wealth. How often do you talk to your kids about wealth, about saving, about giving, about not worshiping wealth? Verses 11 and 12, discipline, explaining the value of discipline. And verses 13 to 18, the value of wisdom in their lives. Do you praise wise choices more than home runs and good report cards? Do you praise your child for when they call you and they're out at a birthday party and they say, hey, the parents just left and all of a sudden this and that came out, or people are doing this? Do you praise them just as much for that call as you do when they hit that grand slam and win the game? Wisdom should be praised. See, how can you be passing wisdom on to the next generation? How can we better discuss and demonstrate wisdom to our kids? How can our walk better reflect our talk? And maybe for you this morning, you're doing a really good job discussing. You're doing a really good job. You've got all the right words to say, all the right advice for this moment and that moment, and you can discuss and have great conversations with your kids. But then your kids look at your life and you're not living it out at all. Maybe this morning you need to work on demonstrating that wisdom to your children. Or maybe you're on the flip side. Maybe this morning you're demonstrating really well. You're a man of integrity. You work hard. You do all these things for your kids to show them that you love them, but you're not using your words to express your love for them and why you do what you do and how they too can live a wise life like you are living. You need to share the truth of the gospel with them. And imagine the relationships that it would strengthen for us to live this way. Imagine the pain that you could spare your children. Imagine the relationship with the Lord, hopefully, that your children would be able to see and desire. You see, studies show that no one impacts the children more than their parents, more than their fathers. And you know what? That's a good thing. Dads, that's a good thing that you are one of the most impactful people in your children's lives. You know why? It means right now you have the opportunity to pour wisdom into your children's life. Right now, you have the opportunity, however changes you got to do, whatever you got to do differently, whatever you need to keep doing, to be pouring wisdom into the lives of your children in a way that's going to be impactful. And it doesn't matter what age they are. It doesn't matter if they're young like my children or if they've got their own children or grandchildren. Right now, you can still have a great impact on their lives for the Lord and for wisdom. There's no better time to start than now. Proverbs 17:6 says, "The glory of children is their fathers." And may this be true of us as we strive to pass wisdom on to our children. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are a good and perfect Heavenly Father who disciplines us perfectly, who loves us beyond anything our fathers could possibly show us. You loved us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Lord, having a son myself and thinking of sending him to die for such wretched people as myself and all of us, Lord, is just beyond my understanding and comprehension. But Lord, you loved us that much. And God, we pray that we would be wise fathers, that we would share truth and wisdom and the good news of Jesus Christ with our children. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't just share truth and wisdom, but that we would warn against folly, that we would just share all of the wickedness of folly and how it's detrimental to lives, and in order that we might spare them from some of it. And Lord, we pray that our lives would match our talk, that our walk would match, and that we would be able to say, as Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Lord, we pray that that would be true of us. Give us your wisdom. Give us your strength. Help us as fathers to be wise and to father well. And Lord, we pray for our children. As their father, we pray that you would be with them because they need all the help they can get. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless them, that you would cause them to have a relationship with you, that you would keep them safe and healthy, and that you would grow them in their walks with you, and that we would be instrumental in doing that. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.